101 days into the U.S.-Israel genocide in the Gaza Strip, and the death toll is 24,100. Despite over 3 months of killing and destruction of Palestinians, Israel has failed to achieve any of its declared objectives in removing Hamas or releasing captives. Israeli occupation forces raid several areas in the West Bank, killing at least 5 Palestinians and detaining dozens more. Welcome to World News here in the Iranian capital. I'm your host, Behrouz Ajafik. Good to have you with us. Israel is pushing ahead with its deadly campaign of bombings and raids in the Gaza Strip. That's 101 days into the onslaught. The latest attacks have claimed the lives of at least 45 more Palestinians in Gaza. 33 civilians were killed in a raid on residential buildings in the early hours of Monday. Another 12 were killed in an attack in eastern Gaza. That toll from the Israeli genocide has already surpassed the 24,000 mark. Also, the civilian infrastructure in Gaza has sustained extensive damage as a result of relentless bombings and shelling. Latest figures indicating some 100 schools and universities, more than 140 mosques in Gaza have been totally destroyed. And that's in addition to more than 80 hospitals and health centers that are already out of service. The military wing of the Islamic Jihad has released new footage that shows targeting and killing an Israeli trooper in the besieged Gaza Strip. The video shows an Al-Quds Brigade sniper shooting the trooper in Khan Yunus, south of the Strip. The regime has yet to confirm the incident. The military wing of Hamas movement also says its fighters targeted Israeli occupation forces in Khan Yunus with mortar shells. According to Al-Qassam Brigades, the attack left a number of casualties. Israel has admitted the death of nearly 190 of its troopers in Gaza since the beginning of the regime's ground invasion there. Resistance groups in the territory say that Israel is underreporting its casualties. According to Israeli media, some 4,000 forces have also suffered disabilities since October 7. Now, Charlotte Gates, who is with the Samidun Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, says that Israel has been unable to achieve its announced goals in Gaza.
The occupation has been unable to break the will of the Palestinian people or destroy the resistance. It has also taken a tremendous human cost from people because the occupation's attacks have been directed against the civilian population as a whole. They've targeted hospitals, schools, residential buildings, mosques, churches. I mean, the purpose of the occupation's attacks, and they're very explicit about this. And this, of course, was also brought up before the International Court of Justice in just the past several days in South Africa's case, is that the purpose of these attacks was to cause the greatest damage possible to the Palestinian civilian population. And unfortunately, this comes as no surprise because this has always been the purpose and the goal of the Zionist movement and the Zionist entity in occupied Palestine since 1948 and before. And we're seeing them continue to attempt to carry out the same project of dispossession, displacement, targeting the Palestinian people as a whole, that they have been doing for over 75 years with the full support and complicity of the United States, Canada, Germany, Britain, and other European powers, all of which are fully responsible and must be held accountable for this ongoing genocide.
Reports of Israeli forces stealing money from the Palestinian homes that the raid in the West Bank have added a new dimension to the atrocities the regime is committing against Palestinians. Palestinian media has released new footage that shows Israeli troopers stealing cash. The video is made in a residential building in Ramallah. Since October 7, similar footage of Israeli forces stealing Palestinian property have been released on several occasions. And these are in addition to reports by Palestinians on the theft of their money, gold, and other valuables by Israeli troopers. The reports have triggered warnings by rights groups of systematic theft in civilian homes in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Lebanese resistance movement says that it's conducted new strikes against Israeli military targets. Hezbollah says that the operations have inflicted losses on the Israeli regime forces stationed south of the Lebanese border. Our correspondent Mariam Salana joins us for more on that. Let's go to Mariam and see what she has for us. What's the latest, Mariam?
Well, you mentioned that they have declared, of course, and announced in many statements that they have attacked and targeted the Israeli posts in several areas. Of course, some of these posts, we've heard their names before. We've basically memorized them. But what is new is that it seems that the resistance every time has a something else or something new that is being targeted. But of course, in two instances, for example, in Mitat and Ramim, they targeted soldiers directly. And those soldiers are not always situated inside the barracks. Sometimes they're surrounding the barracks somewhere near, trying to find places where they can hide or moving from one place to another. But still, the resistance has been capable of directly targeting and hitting scores, basically. And that we know from the statements, they say that they have definitely inflicted casualties on the Israeli soldiers in both Mitat and Ramim. We also have two other significant operations. We have, for example, in Birkat Risha, they, in one instance, they targeted the post. Then later on, they targeted it with a Burkan rocket, which is a very highly, if we may say, sophisticated type of rocket, since it is a very medium range. It is actually a short range rocket, which has very strong capabilities, and they use that in several instances. Of course, Hezbollah, they have only introduced it in this confrontation, and it seems that Hezbollah use it when they want to basically cause and inflict specific destruction in certain barracks for the Israelis. We had that in Birkat Rishi in one of the instances. You also have in the Motuli area, they did not only just target the post, they targeted newly situated and set espionage devices. As you know, Hezbollah has made sure to target all the devices that are used for espionage, that are used to spy on all of Lebanon and beyond Lebanon, in addition to anything that is being used to eavesdrop and even interfere with the radio frequencies and so on. They have targeted that in the surrounding of Tully, since the Israelis seem to be putting and setting forth new devices every now and then, in addition to the use of their drones, which are used also for reconnaissance. And so every time there is a new device, we notice how Hezbollah is quick to make sure that they have turned that off, making sure that they have blinded the Israeli capabilities when it comes to those posts. Of course, in Malkiya and Asumaka, in the occupied Shabah farms as well, they have also targeted those posts. Now, that also came simultaneously with continuous Israeli shelling on several of the Lebanese towns. And here we're talking about the towns that are situated right at the border and also those that are a bit further off. Yesterday, we had the first instance of an attack, which was near the towns of Siddiqin and Qana.
Thanks for that, Mariam Saleh, our correspondent in Lebanon. Now, moving on, the leader of Lebanon's resistance movement has stressed Hezbollah's preparedness to confront Israel in case of an attack by the regime.
We've been ready for war. We're not afraid of war. We don't fear war. We won't hesitate in such a war. And we will go to such a war. And as I said, we will fight without any constraints, without any ceiling, without any limit, boundaries.
Sayyidina Nasrallah said that Israel has been trying to cover up its failures in Gaza. After 100 days of onslaught, Israel has failed to achieve its goals. He hailed the Palestinian resistance for dealing heavy blows to the Israeli military. Nasrallah said that Tel Aviv undercounts its casualties due to pressure from the public. He said that Israelis have acknowledged that a regime's military is caught in a quagmire in Gaza, and they're calling for the resignation of Prime Minister Netanyahu. Israeli forces have killed more Palestinians during fresh raids in the occupied West Bank. The troopers shot a teenager in the chest at a refugee camp near the city of Ariha or Jericho. Two Palestinian teens were also killed in an area near Ramallah. The other killings took place near the city of Al-Khalil, where the regime's military fatally shot two Palestinian youths. Two others, including a woman, were killed in the town of Dora, southwest of Al-Khalil. Israeli forces also raided a university in Annapolis, abducting 25 students. Israel has intensified deadly raids across the West Bank since the beginning of its genocidal war on Gaza. For the past 100 days, more than 340 Palestinians have been killed in the West Bank. In the same period, the regimes also abducted hundreds of people. Now, our correspondent Ramallah, Mona Kendall, joined us a while ago and told us about the latest Israeli raids in the occupied West Bank.
Every day the Israelis are raiding Palestinian areas. They are storming Palestinian areas. As you have said, the Israeli military raided the city of Nablus, and they, let's say, stormed the University of Al-Najah. Dozens of Palestinians had been protesting or staging a sit-in inside the Al-Najah Hospital, Al-Najah University, and the Israelis stormed the complex of Al-Najah and detained a number of Palestinians. It's not clear how many Palestinians had been detained because the operation, Israeli forces are still raiding the city of Nablus. But we can say initially, according to the president of the university, that we are speaking about 20 to 25 Palestinians, students, of course, had been detained in the city, in the University of Al-Najah. Elsewhere in the occupied West Bank, the Israeli military raids had targeted several areas in the village of Kober. Israeli forces raided this village of Kober, and they stormed a number of houses. One of the of these houses is the house of Palestinian prisoner Nail al-Barghouti, who had been behind the bars for even over 40 years, and the Israelis conducted an arrest raid not only in Kober, in the village of Bitin, in Qalqilia, Ariha, as well as in Tulkarem.
Palestinians have conducted two retaliatory operations in different locations in the Israeli city of Ra'anana in the occupied territories. A car ramming operation and a stabbing attack killed at least one Israeli settler. 20 others have also been injured, some of them critically. Regime forces say that a car ramming suspect, who is a resident of the West Bank city of Al-Khalil, has been arrested. Tensions are mounting in the occupied territories over the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza and the regime's recurrent deadly raids against Palestinians across the West Bank. Iran has yet again issued a stern warning over the U.S.-Israeli genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. Iranian Foreign Ministry says that Washington cannot maintain its unflinching support for Israeli genocidal war while at the same time urging other countries to show restraint.
The United States cannot have full-fledged, cannot provide Israel with full-fledged support and also participate in the killing of 24,000 civilians, including thousands of women and more than 12,000 children. And at the same time, invite others to practice and exercise self-restraint and call on others to keep silent.
Amir Abdullahian advised the U.S. against tying its interest to the Israeli apartheid regime, which he says is nearing its end. He added that the U.S. is creating terrorist groups in the region, while at the same time claiming to be combating terrorism and is willing to end regional conflicts. Addressing the situation in the Red Sea, the top diplomat said that the Islamic Republic fully supports maritime security in the region. He warned the U.S. and the U.K. to immediately end the war against Yemen to prevent further escalation. He made those comments in a joint press conference with a visiting Indian foreign minister in Tehran. During the presser, the two senior officials stressed the importance of preventing the spillover of the war into the entire region.
Both of us are concerned about recent events in West Asia, which some call Middle East, and we emphasized the importance of preventing further escalation of violence and hostilities.
The top Indian diplomat called on the international community to effectively address the deeply concerning situation and a visible humanitarian crisis in Gaza. He stressed the importance of creation of a sustainable humanitarian corridor in the watered in Palestinian territory. The Indian Foreign Minister also called for the establishment of an independent Palestinian state as the solution to end the Israeli genocide. The Islamic resistance in Iraq has staged fresh attacks on U.S. positions in both Iraq and Syria. The group confirmed that launching drone and missile attacks on three American bases, including one in the Conoco natural gas field in northeastern Syria. The resistant movement says that the strikes on American occupation troops in Iraq and Syria are in response to Washington's support for Israeli crimes against residents of Gaza. The resistance group already hit Israeli military bases across the occupied lines. The movement says that it will continue targeting the interests and bases of the U.S. until the Israeli genocide in Gaza stops. Now, on the 100th day of the Israeli onslaught in Gaza, rallies have been held in several cities across Pakistan in solidarity with Palestinians. Protesters demand the International Court of Justice hold Israel accountable for its crimes against Palestinians in Gaza. Similar events were held in other parts of the world, too.
In a powerful display of solidarity and condemnation, thousands of Pakistanis took to the streets in the port city of Karachi to protest against Israeli atrocities in Gaza. The protest, dubbed the Million Man March for Gaza, saw demonstrators from various walks of life voicing their anger at the Israeli regime and demanding an end to the violence that has engulfed the region for weeks.
Our demands, first of all, ceasefire immediately. And we demand the freedom of Palestine from the river to the sea. And we demand Israel to be taken into accountability for all the crimes they have committed against the Palestinian nation.
The march witnessed massive turnouts with protesters chanting slogans to condemn the Israeli massacre in Gaza. Simultaneously, civil society activists and Palestinian students studying at Pakistani universities also held protest demonstrations in solidarity with people of Gaza, praising South Africa for taking a bold step by filing a case against Israel at the International Court of Justice. The protesters called on other nations to support South Africa's initiative and urged the International Court of Justice to conduct a thorough investigation into alleged atrocities committed by Israeli forces in Gaza.
The demonstrations for Gaza highlight a widespread sentiment among Pakistanis against unwavering support from the U.S. and its Western allies for Israel's actions in the region. These marches provide a platform for Pakistanis to vocally condemn Israeli forces for their atrocities against Palestinian population. Nasser Kazmi, Islamabad.
That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
General Haj Qasem Soleimani, it's a name that has long sent shivers down the spine of the world's worst terrorists and their masters in the West Asia region, mainly the Israeli regime and the U.S., and surprisingly enough, continues to do so to this very day. When you get to know about the story of how the gifted general managed to mobilize the population of an entire region to fight against the Israeli occupation and Western imperialism, in the span of less than just 3 decades, you'll better understand why the U.S. decided to murder the general in early 2020, right after he led the fight against Daesh Takfiri terror group to success. General Soleimani was a nightmare for terrorists and their masters. General Soleimani led the elite Quds force of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, or the IRGC, from 1988 up until the time of his assassination. But the fact of the matter is that he was not just an Iranian commander who made certain achievements and left. No, his character and strategy actually turned into a school of thought that is still the driving force behind the regional resistance movement and keeps shaking the foundations of the Israeli occupation and American imperialism even more strongly than before. His school of thought is actually still the driving force, the source of inspiration for the regional resistance axis against Israel. Let's take a quick look at his major achievements in a nutshell.
Angered by the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979, the U.S. and its allies helped provoke an eight-year Iraqi war against the nascent Islamic establishment in the hope of destroying it. That plot, however, went down the drain thanks to the public mobilization and foundation of the IRGC and the brilliant role that its commanders, including General Soleimani, played on the battlefield under the guidance of the late Imam Khomeini.
Later on, as part of the ideals of the 1979 Islamic Revolution, the IRGC took on a more important role that exceeded the frontiers of Iran, and that was to fight against the main source of instability and insecurity in the broader Muslim region, namely Israel's occupation of Palestine and Western imperialism. When General Soleimani took over the Quds Force in 1988, the genius strategist started using his military expertise and brilliant thinking to identify various resistance cells that were created by the people against any compromise with the Israeli regime. He then began establishing links between these various local resistance regional forces and created a network of them, thus giving identity to the ever-growing regional resistance axis that has since been a thorn on the side of the Israeli occupiers and their allies.
In Lebanon, one of the pillars of the resistance axis, General Soleimani played a pivotal role in the Hezbollah resistance group's struggle against Israel, especially during the 2006 war, which dealt a heavy blow to the invincibility myth of the Zionist military and humiliated the occupying entity. During the 33-day war, General Soleimani was personally present on the battlefield and offered effective advisory assistance to Hezbollah, Lebanon's de facto military power, enabling the Lebanese to gain new victories years after liberating the southern region in an earlier conflict. Hezbollah has since continued to substantially grow its weapons arsenal, manpower, and intelligence apparatus. The group is seen as the textbook definition of a hybrid actor with conventional and unconventional warfare capabilities. It has also passed on its military knowledge to other resistance groups in Palestine and Syria as well.
General Soleimani did a similar thing in Palestine. He offered training to the resistance forces and empowered armed struggles against the Israeli regime, especially the ones in the besieged Gaza Strip. Much to the dismay of the Israeli regime, General Soleimani managed to secretly break the tight siege that has been in place against Gaza since 2010 by facilitating the transfer of defense equipment to the different resistance factions there before they acquired the expertise to develop their own. The Israeli regime has, over the past 13 years, waged several wars on Gaza with the goal of crushing the resistance movement there, but each time the Zionist entity has suffered an even bigger defeat than the last in the face of growing defense capabilities of the Palestinian resistance fighters. Today, the Palestinian resistance is not solely defending the homeland, but it's now on the offensive.
General Soleimani's role in the victories of the Palestinian resistance against Israel better came to light in the October 7th Operation Al-Aqsa Storm by Hamas against the occupying entity, which caught the regime's much-boasted spy services and military off guard. Humiliated by the surprise raid, the Israeli military has been conducting a campaign of destruction and ethnic cleansing in Gaza with the goal of, quote-unquote, wiping out Hamas. But it has so far achieved nothing more than the massacre of children and women.
The general, however, rose to global fame due to his crucial role in the Syrian and Iraqi fight against Daesh from 2014 up until late 2017. Daesh was widely known to be a U.S. proxy designed to weaken anti-Israeli resistance in Iraq and Syria. The emergence of the terror group initially shocked the national armies of the two countries. The scary Takfiris then moved to occupy land in the two neighboring states on the back of a campaign of death and destruction. General Soleimani, however, was quick and rushed to the aid of the two countries. He helped the Iraqi and Syrian national armies rebuild strength and also sped up the formation of popular groups to strengthen local militaries in the campaign against Daesh. The commander was present alongside the armies and the local resistance forces all throughout the battles and ultimately led their efforts to victory in late 2017.
General Soleimani's strategies likewise inspired the Yemeni nation, a rather new member but exemplary member of the resistance axis against Israel and the U.S. The world watched in surprise how Yemen's popular Houthi Ansarullah movement defeated a Western-backed military campaign against their country by Saudi Arabia and a coalition of its Arab allies with empty hands. In parallel with its defense campaign, the Houthi Ansarullah movement continued to build military strength to the extent that today it is militarily and economically challenging the Zionist regime in solidarity with Palestine.
All in all, what's unique about General Soleimani's strategy is that he detected and tried successfully to minimize the religious, racial, and ideological differences that has long been abused by the global arrogance to spread the seeds of division among regional states and further its own goals. After getting rid of such sources of division, the commander successfully managed to make the local resistance cells join hands and shatter the roots of occupation and colonialism in the region.
Had it not been for the sacrifices of General Soleimani, the formation of the regional resistance axis would not have been possible. Today, the resistance axis led by Iran has been challenging the unipolar system sought by the U.S. in the world. Years ago, when Israel fired even a single bullet in the occupied territories, everyone in the region would grow fearful of the outbreak of a war by the invincible Israeli military. But today, thanks to General Soleimani, everyone has realized that Israel is truly weaker than a spider's web, as put by Hezbollah's leader Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah.
The U.S. assassinated General Soleimani to stop this trend, but what it failed to understand is that it would never be able to eliminate the school of thought and the legacy that the great martyr of Al-Quds left behind.
In the limelight. The United Nations is saying the Israeli regime is staining humanity with its devastating war on the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. On the eve of the 100th day of Israel's genocidal war in Gaza, the United Nations has called the Israeli regime's brutal onslaught on the besieged Palestinian territory as a stain on humanity. Philip Lazzarini, who heads the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, made the remark in a statement on Saturday, 13th of January. The massive death, destruction, displacement, hunger, loss, and grief of the last 100 days are staining our shared humanity, he said. The relentless Israeli military campaign against Gaza began on 7th of October following an operation by the territory's resistance movements, dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Storm. Israel's genocidal war has so far killed at least 23,843 people, many of them women and children, while 60,317 others have been wounded. The Israeli regime has also cut off the flow of basic supplies such as water, electricity, medicine and fuel to one of the world's most densely populated territories that houses over 2 million Palestinians. The crisis in Gaza is a man-made disaster compounded by dehumanizing language and the use of food, water and fuel as instruments of war, Philip Lazzarini said. In the past 100 days, sustained bombardment across the Gaza Strip caused a mass displacement of a population that is in a state of flux, constantly uprooted and forced to leave overnight, only to move to places which are just as unsafe, the United Nations official emphasized. The Israeli onslaught has brought about the largest displacement of Palestinians since 1948, with Lazzarini referencing the year where the Israeli regime rendered some 700 Palestinians homeless. The war has left a vast majority of Gaza's population, including children, deeply traumatized. According to Philip Lazzarini, the head of UNRWA, the plight of children in Gaza is especially heartbreaking. An entire generation of children is traumatized and will take years to heal. Lazzarini added, thousands have been killed, maimed and orphaned. Hundreds of thousands are deprived of their education. Their future is in jeopardy, with far-reaching and long-lasting consequences. Elsewhere in his remarks, Philip Lazzarini said implementation of humanitarian operations across the coastal territory has fast become one of the most complex and challenging in the world. Citing the main impediments that complicate the conduct of relief operations in Gaza, Lazzarini referred to the cumbersome procedures that the Israeli regime has imposed on the entry of humanitarian supplies into the Gaza Strip, and a myriad of obstacles that face safe and orderly distribution of aid in the territory. Meanwhile, Iran's permanent ambassador to the United Nations has said a series of missile strikes carried out by United States and Britain on Yemen amounts to a declaration of war against the Arab country. Amir Saeed Irabani, Iran's permanent ambassador to the United Nations, said the actions by the United States and Britain in attacking Yemen constitute a flagrant violation of national sovereignty, a breach of international law, and a transgression of the United Nations Charter. Irabani added, compelling evidence suggests that Tel Aviv regime has effectively maneuvered to involve the United States in these conflicts, aligning with its own interests. Irabani added that the joint military aggression by United States and Britain exposed the so-called success of the Israeli regime's lobbying in Washington to draw the United States into a direct war and exacerbate the spillover of hostilities to other parts of the region. On Friday, 12th of January, US and British warplanes targeted five regions of Yemen with 73 missiles, including Yemen's capital, Sana'a, killing at least five people and wounding six others. Also, the European Union's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, says Europe has been kept in the dark over the scale of the tragedy in the Gaza Strip, as many journalists have either died or not been able to access the territory because of incessant Israeli attacks. Josep Borrell, in an opinion piece published on EU's website on Saturday, 13th of January, said, "The absolutely tragic situation experienced by the civilian population in Gaza is unfortunately not always sufficiently known in Europe, not least because Western journalists do not have access to the enclave and many Palestinian journalists have lost their lives." In an article, the EU diplomat Josep Borrell urged members of the bloc to unite and push for a solution to the conflict in Gaza, where the Israeli regime has killed nearly 24,000 Palestinians since it launched its aggression on Gaza on 7th of October. Josep Borrell said lack of consensus among EU members about how to react to the conflict in Gaza has weakened the bloc's position in the region, preventing it from having influence on events. The EU foreign policy chief Borrell noted that the people of Gaza are in desperate need of food, water, medicine and healthcare. Beyond bombs and bullets, famine and epidemics are beginning to threaten the lives of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. Borrell said that some 1.9 million people, or nearly 85% of the population of Gaza, are now forcibly displaced because of the destruction left by the Israeli army's incessant bombardment of the territory. The top EU diplomat said, however, the European Union will firmly oppose any forced displacement of Gaza's population outside of the enclave, as proposed by some members of the Israeli government when they talk about getting rid of Palestinians of Gaza. Josep Borrell warned that European Union members that lack a united effort to end the conflict in Palestine may cause it to spread to already volatile regions outside, such as Yemen and Lebanon. Turkey's TRT World has also covered the same story and tells us more. The United Nations has said the Israeli war in Gaza is staining humanity on the eve of its 100th day as the brutal assault has unleashed a humanitarian crisis in the besieged enclave. Since 7th of October, Israel vowed to destroy the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas in Gaza and launched a relentless bombardment campaign that has now killed at least 23,843 Palestinians, many of them women and children. An Israeli siege has sparked acute shortage of food, water, medicine and fuel in Gaza, where the healthcare system is collapsing. Visiting Gaza, the head of the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, Philip Lazzarini, said the massive death, destruction, displacement, hunger, loss and grief of the past 100 days are staining our shared humanity. Lazzarini warned that an entire generation of children in Gaza were being traumatized, diseases were spreading fast among the population, and the clock is ticking fast towards famine. The Hague-based International Court of Justice, the ICJ, this week heard arguments in a case launched by South Africa and welcomed by Palestinians of the Gaza Strip, accusing the Israeli regime of breaching the United Nations Genocide Convention. The case seeks a halt to the military offensive. The case seeks to halt Israel's military offensive on Gaza, which Israel claims is a form of self-defense. The Israeli regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in a televised press conference, has claimed that no one will stop us, not The Hague, not the Axis of Evil, and no one else. It is possible and necessary to continue until victory, and we will do it, Netanyahu added. An Agence France press reporter in Rafah in southern Gaza has said telecommunications have been partially restored just a day after Gaza's main operator, Paltel, reported the latest outage in Gaza. Paltel did not immediately confirm the service restoration, but said an Israeli airstrike killed two of its employees in Khan Yunis while they were repairing the telecommunications network. Winter rains have exacerbated the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza, where the UN estimates 1.9 million people, nearly 85% of the population of Gaza, have been displaced. Many have sought shelter in Rafah and other southern areas of the Gaza Strip, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM, 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Ocean of Dua. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil. Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were discussing the different constituents of supplication. As we mentioned, there are three constituents for supplication. The first one is the spiritual attraction, the second is the supplicant, and the third is the Almighty Allah, that we will, God willing, discuss later on. Regarding the second constituent, which is the supplicant, we said that there are different conditions to be met if he or she is to be counted as one of the genuine supplicants. We said that these conditions are sincerity, real invoking, and having good manners in supplication, as well as believing in the power and closeness of the Almighty Allah. Now, in the previous episode specifically, We said regarding having good manners in supplication that Allama Tabatabai has stipulated certain conditions based on the verses of the Holy Quran to be observed when practicing supplication. Regarding this verse, وإذ قال الله يا عيسى ابن مريم أأنت قلت للناس اتخذوني وأمي إلهين من دون الله؟ قال سبحانك ما يكون لي أن أقول ما ليس لي بحق إن كنت قلته فقد علمته. This verse, and when Allah will say, O Isa, son of Maryam, did you say to man, take me and my brother for two gods besides Allah? He will say, glory be to thee. It did not befit me that I should say what I had no right to say. If I had said it, you would have indeed have known it. Out of this verse, we learn a couple of points. Jesus Christ, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, started his answer by glorifying Allah. Qala subhanaka. At the very first time, before answering what he was asked, he said, subhanaka, glory be to Allah, glory be to thee. Because he had heard something that he could not ascribe to God. His good manners forced him to glorify Allah. Of course, we should be aware that he had enjoyed divine manners, and this is what he does here. Now, the second point is that Jesus Christ did not use negative response to God's question. He did not say that he had not done it. There are two points here. Firstly, negation here is one sort of denying, which is against etiquette. And secondly, negation is used when there is a possibility for an act to occur, but we know that being a god for any of God's servants is impossible. So that's why he did not use negative response to God's question. Some people at that time ascribed the position of God to Jesus Christ. So what he denied and negated was that he had never had such a claim. He added that if people had erroneously called him God, this was their own error and he had nothing to do with it. So he said, you would have known if I had done such a thing, O Almighty Allah. And this is not the absolute negation of this issue. Now, at the very same time, Jesus Christ had denied having the dignity of being a God. He said this was beyond him. Denying being a God is more significant than negating his claim of divinity. He said, it did not befit me that I should say what I had no right to say. It means I did not count myself as something which is needless. And this verse teaches us to be polite when we want to talk to Lord. A servant should observe all these different etiquettes, all these sides of servitude. And by the way, one of the advantages of establishment of the school of supplication is that a God servant has to learn how to behave before Almighty Allah.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. آب کم جو تشنگی آور به دست. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. تا بجوشد آب از بالا و پست. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So as you can see, dear listeners, there are different verses in the Holy Quran teaching us the different etiquettes for supplication. Regarding Jesus Christ, we said that he left the issue to be cared for by the Almighty Allah. And then he said, if I had done this, you would have known it. This is because of the fact that God's knowledge is not like ours. It is not incomplete. Whatever is in the whole creation is within his knowledge. So Jesus Christ did not completely deny what his Lord said. And this is not actually, his words do not actually show the absolute negation of the issue. Now, let us have another look at yet another verse of the Holy Quran. When Adam ate from the forbidden tree's fruit and was addressed by Alam anhaakuma an tilkuma shajara, did I not forbid you both from that tree? He and his wife began to invoke Allah by saying, Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Our Lord, we have been unjust to ourselves, and if thou forgive us not and have not mercy on us, we shall certainly be of the losers. Adam, in this verse, ascribes to himself injustice, defection, and loss, but at the same time he ascribes benevolence, good, and salvage to the Almighty Allah. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my son, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. I've dug the earth with my hands, my bare hands. I've searched for my roots in this soil, this holy land, the land which is yours and which is mine, Palestine. You, good earth, glorious land, son to you, see, I offer my son to you, only to you. I lifted his head from his mother's arms. I put him on your chest, still in red, to water you, you of my roots, Palestine, 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 Palestine. Lullaby, my child, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since the story of my anger and your blood, the story of our mother's tears and your brother's cry, have to take us on, have to take us on. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my dear, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since somebody inside my aching heart, somebody inside our land, our blood joins in sacrifice, sacrifice. Your blood roots me here, this land.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.